There are very few of us who can write in a vacuum. Today's guest helps us discover how we can make success easier when we actually choose the right companions to be around. Stick around, your best writing life begins right now. Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. And each week I bring tips and strategies from writing and publishing industry experts to help you excel in your craft. I'm so very glad that you're listening in. During this episode, you're going to receive help for having toxic writers in your life. Oh no, what do we do when that happens? Well, my industry expert is good friend, Edie Melson, and she is back once again. Let me tell you a little bit about Edie. She is a woman of faith with ink-stained fingers, observing life through the lens of her camera. As a popular speaker, Edie encourages and challenges audiences on the necessity of soul care, and she leads workshops around the world on staying connected to God, not being apart from Him. Her numerous books, including the award-winning Soul Care series and Unruffled, Thriving in Chaos, which is co-authored with Rhonda Ray, reflect her passion to help others develop the strength of their God-given gifts and apply them to their lives. And since 2017, Edie's industry blog, The Right Conversation, WRITE, has been recognized on a Writer's Digest Top 101 Sites for Writers. She is the director of the Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference and a board member of the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. And she and her husband, Kirk, have been married for over 40 years and raised three sons. They live in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains and can often be found hiking, with Edie clinging to the edge of a precipice for the perfect camera angle. And Kirk can be found patiently carrying her camera bag and tripod. Please welcome Edie Melson to Your Best Writing Life. It is great to have you back on, my friend.
It is great to be here. Super excited.
Well, we're going to jump into the content for today. And I like that you're suggesting we choose our traveling companions with care. And you're going to offer us some warning signs for toxic writers in our lives. So how do you want to kick this off?
Well, I think it's really important to understand that I am not suggesting that we become elitists and that we only hang out with people who have something to offer to us. None of us want to really consider that there are people that we should avoid. But the fact of the matter is there are people who can derail our writing progress and who can derail our following the path that God has for us. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't encourage people from a distance or that we can interact with them in certain situations. But what I am suggesting is that we choose our traveling companions with care, and that we look out for some of the warning signs that can mean the person we are spending so much time with may not be in a healthy place. And we want to avoid catching the toxicity that they have in their life.
Boy, I tell you, and that can be contagious. It truly can. And when that toxicity starts creeping in, it can be very subtle. And I think you'll probably cover some of that as well today. So let's start it off. I know you have nine. So what is the first one? What writers should we be looking out for?
The first one is we want to be careful of writers who only talk about writing, but never actually sit down and write. Ooh. A lot of times these people want to be part of an exclusive club, but they don't want to put in the work it takes to succeed. Beware of their excitement and the fact that it might their influence might replace your own willingness to put in the work that's necessary to get there. Sometimes they just get excited about talking about writing, and that's fun. I mean, we're writers, we like to talk about words, but if we're not actually putting those words on paper, there's a problem.
And I can see how you say that it can kind of pull us into that same place. It's okay. I'm going to liken it to someone who wants to gain a healthier lifestyle. And so they're saying, you know what? I'm going to start walking and I'm going to commit to walking X number of days and, you know, not necessarily rain or shine, but at least I'm going to get out there. And they find a friend who says, oh, I want to do that too. And so, but they're maybe on the same level, or they may have the same issues of procrastination. And all right, let's get up and go walk. You know what? It's cold. Let's not walk today. How about we just meet over at the coffee shop? And that's kind of where I went with this, is I could eventually just keep spending time at the coffee shop and never get behind or in front of my computer. So I could see how that would be something that kind of is a slow little subtle way of stopping me from my progress. So, all right. So looking for the writers who just kind of talk about writing, but they're not producing anything of their own. Got it. Number two.
Number two is a first cousin to number one. And these are writers who always have an excuse for the reason that they're not producing anything. They have a reason for not having anything to show for their writing time. Maybe they sat down to write, but they got caught up in this really good blog about writing or this video. Or maybe they were going to write, but they weren't inspired, so they took time to read a book or go to a movie or something. Let me tell you, there are legitimate reasons for not writing. And we can always come up with them. But the fact is, it all boils down to what we're willing to give up to follow our dreams and to follow the call that God has put on our life to write.
Amen. Not producing anything. I think sometimes about the individual who they keep going back to college. They take another college class. They take another college class. And there it's I'm a proponent of being a lifetime learner. I agree with that. But at some point we have to use what it is that we're learning. If we're not, then we're looping. So I see this as someone who loops, a writer who always has a reason or an excuse why, well, I just didn't get to it today because of. And so I'm resonating with you. All right. That's we've got two. What's the third one?
The third one is really something we have to watch out for, is we need to watch out for writers who are always gossiping about other writers. This can be subtle or it can be blatant, but we need to be careful not to get sucked in with the honor of being chosen for a confidence. If they're sharing gossip with you about others, I can guarantee you that they're sharing gossip about you with others. So you want to be careful about that.
That's kind of a biblical thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we're not to fall into that trap of speaking negative. I mean, words have power. We've talked about that before. And negative talk, we've talked about that before. And, you know, when someone wants to pray for someone and they're going to share something in love, let me share this in love because you need to know what's going on with so. And I'm like, now I turn around and walk away. And if you stay there, if you engage, you're basically saying you agree. And there's times we have to stand up and go, you know, I don't do that. Or let's ask Father if we do it. Ask him, am I someone who does that? Because I don't want to do that. And he'll let us know pretty quick, too. And a clue would be if you start talking to a group and people start walking away, could be it has something to do with what you have to say. So be aware, be aware. All right. Number four, you say that writers who cannot accept honest critiques. Whoa. All right. Let's go there.
And I have to tell you right off the bat, I have trouble with critiques. I mean, I really do. I've had to work with my face not reflecting the horror that I hear at my babies being criticized. And I have had to learn to say, you know, that's something I'm going to think about. Thank you for being willing to say this. So we need to be careful of writers who are not learning that lesson. These writers can range from those who get angry when they hear anything negative, to those who just want to argue every point. Well, yes, I agree with you, but this is why I did it that way. Okay, maybe once, but that's it. You know, you can't argue every point. And there's nothing more painful than hearing that something you wrote doesn't measure up. But the fact is, it's that kind of feedback that will push us past average and onto excellent. And so we have to be willing to do that. And I have learned a lot about accepting critiques by the people around me who accept critiques.
And girl, I'm going to say, you watch those who are professional, who are excelling in the craft, who have more and more books coming out, and they're giving, they're loving of other people. And they tell us automatically, no, I wait for the critique. I have to love Red Ink and let that be. All right, someone is helping me to be better. And that's right. It is a sign of maturity in a writer, or at least a writer who is choosing to go down the road of professionalism and the betterment of their personal craft for the betterment of the kingdom. And I'm right there with you. Get it? Right there. Okay, I just said that. All right. So, number five. You say that we have to beware of writers who put others down to build themselves up. Ooh, that just, not a good thing.
Yeah, and it's difficult because some people want to prove what they know by telling you how wrong you are. And so pointing out mistakes of other writer what that other writers make can be seductive. It can be something you think, "Oh, yeah, I saw that," and they didn't. But we have to be careful not to set ourselves up as an expert at the expense of others. We need to offer critiques, but what we offer are suggestions, and we never put down the effort.
Oh, never put down the effort. Because if someone puts down the effort, if someone is always just this at me, pretty soon I'm just going to say, forget it. You know, forget it. I could start believing what that individual says. And so having the awareness that there's someone who's maybe not even just putting down my stuff, but putting down about others that falls in line with that little gossipy there, but it has a little bit of a difference as well. So I get it. I hear it. All right, what is number six?
Number six is kind of the opposite of the last two, and these are writers who legalistically follow the rules. These are the type who will literally argue commas and semicolons for days. They can bring a productive writing session to a screeching halt by insisting everything is black and white. Writing is not an algebraic equation. There are nuances. And depending on where you are in your writing career, depends on how well you know how to break the rules and whether or not you should. There was a time when I was in a critique group with a best-selling author. I mean, legitimate New York Times best-selling author. Well, some of the things that she did were great for her and would not have caused her any problem because she knew the nuances. She knew how to break the rules because she knew them so well. And she had so many books under her belt. Me, at that time, I had one novel out. And so I had to be more careful to follow the rules in certain instances than she did, but there was no way I was going to tell her. She had to follow them the same way I did. Legalism and writing just don't mix.
Well, we can go into heavy preaching right now on that, Edie. I mean, we could go into that term in a lot of different areas of our life. But you're right. It's once again, not pointing the finger at someone and recognizing that there's new ways things are going to change, and not to get bent out of shape by the shape of the comma or the colon or semicolon. So you're right. That's good. All right. You say number seven is we have to be aware of writers who insist that there is only that's kind of close to what we're doing, that there's only one correct way to write. Ooh.
Yep. And what I mean by that is you will come into, when I first started, I took a class from somebody who told me I always had to outline, that if I didn't outline, there was something wrong with my book, something wrong with me. Well, I'm not an outliner. I'm more of a seat of the pants sort of girl. And so it really derailed my productivity because I was trying to force myself in a mold that God hadn't made me for. So you have to be careful with that. You also have to be careful with people who tell you things like real writers write every day. You can't be a real writer if you don't write every day. Well, that's a lie. I think it's important to write regularly. But writing regularly is different for different people. I had a client one time, a coaching client who was an oncologist. I guarantee you that person was more interested in treating cancer and being a doctor than he was in writing, but he loved to do both. But that meant he didn't write every day, but he was still a successful writer. So there's more than one correct way to do this writing life.
And it goes back to discovering yourself, discovering your design, discovering that how God created you to be a scribe for him is how he wants to use you. And if we can discover that what someone else is trying to speak into me is taking me, distracting me, derailing me, I love those words that you're using, off of the path that God has for me, then maybe that's someone I'm not supposed to be hanging around with. Maybe that's someone I need to say, you know what? Gosh, I'm going to put a little distance here. I don't have to be ugly. I don't have to, get upset, but being aware that really does help me. It's kind of like being alert to life. It helps me to get to and from my car safely. I'm aware of who's around me and if they pose a danger to me. And it's the same in our writing world. Who's in a position around me to speak into me, to contact me, and to influence me? And what you have given us so far is really eye-opening, and it's kind of a heart check too. Am I doing this? Because I kind of look at it back and forth. Are these some of the things that I need to ask God if I'm doing this? Because if I am, it's please remove that from me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to bring toxicity into the lives of my fellow writers, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So this has been powerful. Well, number eight, you say to be aware of writers who are more interested in a life support group or a relationship than in encouraging each other to write. That's like almost like a fine line there. So walk us through that.
It is a fine line, but I don't know if I'm just the only one, but there are some people in my life who are always immersed in high drama. There's always a chaos. crisis going on. There's always chaos, and they always have major issues that need to be solved or fixed before they can do this. And if you are in a situation where you are interacting with this person as a writer, that can totally derail and overshadow all of the writing part of the relationship. Now, we all have times when there are crises in our lives, and our close writing friends are the ones who come alongside us. That happened to us when we lost our daughter-in-law. I mean, that was horrible. And everybody dropped everything and came alongside us. But we can't sustain that kind of high drama with somebody week after week after week when we're really trying to hang out with them as another writer to encourage each other. So we don't want to turn our backs on our friends, but you see what I'm saying. There are some that are just always in a crisis, and that's exhausting.
And the crisis is not necessarily in their writing, or we could say the crisis is always in their writing, which is another, it's that extreme. It's that extremeness. It's that, do we leave a conversation drained, or do we leave a conversation anticipating the next time we get to get together and having that be a positive? If I walk away drained, going, oh my word, my head's hurting. All of this is happening. What, did I do something? No, I didn't even have a chance to talk. So it's being aware again. And we're not, Edie, I don't hear you saying that we're to be cruel, we're to shun, we're to, put them down. We're just to identify if we have individuals in our writing life to be support and iron sharpening iron in our writing, then we really need to discover, are these individuals a help or a hindrance when it comes to that? And so this has been really good, really good. And you have number nine. Take us there.
Number nine is writers who put themselves above others after they have a little bit of a success. Now, believe me, I know the joy of winning a contest. I don't know it as much as I'd like to, but I do know it. But that does not mean that I am better than anybody else who didn't win. And so just because I have this book contract or this writing assignment does not make me a better writer or a better person than other writers around me. It just means that that's the opportunity that God chose for me. And so we have to be really careful to make sure, number one, that we're not doing this, but number two, that we're not with someone who is always telling us how much better they are than us. I'll be so excited when you finally reach this level. That is a very toxic sentence. You just have to be careful.
Oh, it makes you wonder when someone says words like that, and they do. Are they not even seeing us? It's like they're not even engaged in that moment. They're more engaged in their self. And a community of writers is that. It's a community. We celebrate when everyone celebrates, and we have heartache when there's heartache, and we encourage and we lift up and we always point to God's grace and his mercy and his love. And that's how we pull together. And just the thought of being around individuals that might infiltrate or bring in a toxicity that they're not even aware that they're doing. And this can happen a lot. They don't even know. They've come in contact with a contagion, and they have no idea until it is permeating through your life and your writing, and we need to be aware of it. So these are nine awarenesses. I mean, they really are. Be aware. So you've heard buyer beware, it's rider beware. Be aware of who's in proximity and how they're impacting your riding and your calling from God. Anything else you'd like to leave us with beyond the nine that you've given so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when you're evaluating the people who are close, who are walking almost daily with you through this writing road, other writers. I think what we want to say to or ask ourselves is, are these people helping me hear from God and stay on his path, or are they pulling me off the path? I think that's the bottom line. And I think Psalm 1 says this the best. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. To me, this means we're not walking with people who are dragging us down. We're certainly not sitting and hanging out with these people, and we are not standing with them. So I really think we need to guard our paths and let God pick out our traveling companions.
God is so good at choosing our traveling buddies. Yes, if God chooses someone to walk alongside us, I think we can be assured that it's going to be an amazing adventure, an amazing, amazing journey. And folks, we'd love to invite you as well as you're listening and viewing this episode today. Think about it. Are there ways that you've had to handle toxic traveling companions that maybe we didn't talk about? What would you add to the list that Edie brought to us today? We'd love to hear from you. Edie Melson, it's always a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you so much for being on Your Best Riding Life.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you.
And we do thank you, friends. We thank you all. We do. You are valued, you are precious, and you are worth the time, the effort, the energy to be here. And we pray that everything that you receive really just helps you to climb up that ladder to success in your riding life. If you would, please take a moment and share this podcast with a rider or two or 12. We're okay. We'll let you share it with it however many you want. And post an episode review, rate the show. We'd love to hear from you. And always hit subscribe, because when you do that, then you're always going to be reminded of when there is a new episode that's out. And you don't want to miss anything that we have here for you. We pray about it, and we're encouraged with what Father gives us to provide for you. I do greatly appreciate what you have to say as much as what you have to write for the kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to the next time to be here with you in your best riding life. Thanks, y'all.